there's one person there, and yes, we would.
Okay.
Is that okay with the council?
Just a clarification. Yeah. When you say yes, does that mean you're going to go beyond the three that have applied? So it opens
no,
it
no.
up to other?
Oh,
just
no,
those
no,
three.
Only the applicants. It's still the applicants that have put in an application. We're not going to take new ones.
And Mr. Merritt, are you out of school by then?
Yeah, I am on Mondays, but I do need to call Noah because I was under the impression we would phone him, and so I'd like to release him from sitting by his phone.
Okay.
I could even give the city manager the phone number. Maybe you could do it for me.
All right, why don't you do that?
It's just a
well, why don't you give Bob the number and he can call and let him know. Okay. All right, then what I was looking at is how many applicants for each one and who's applied for a couple of things. And it looks like the easiest and quickest and fewest would be the Harbor Advisory Board. So unless anybody has a problem, why don't we start with that? Is that okay?
Again, was that Harbor I was talking about? Harbor?
Harbor, uh-huh. So what we do is we ask the applicants for this particular board to sit in the front seats, and you'll be passing the microphone back and forth, so please sit next to each other instead of far away. So Michelle Leary and Tom Laurie and Roger Anderson, please come up to the front row. And Roger, if you want to grab the mic when you head in there.
This is for two appointments.
Okay.
Three people.
And there's three. Yeah, we have three applicants. We have three positions. We do not have to appoint all three, but there's no reason if they're all qualified why we wouldn't appoint all three. So.
And a clarification.
Yeah.
These categories are not mandatory, but advisory?
Yes.
And is everyone clear about that? Okay, and that's
correct.
True for
right.
Also promotions, that those are just advisory, they're not mandatory?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason why those is to, if we can't be on this particular board or commission, and then we ask questions. So, we'll start with you, Roger. Would you like to tell us who you are and why you feel you should continue on this board?
Sure. I'm Roger Anderson. Been in Morro Bay for a number of years, and I've been involved in community service in a variety of positions through those years. I am a waterfront leaseholder. We've been on that lease site for 40 years now, and I have been involved in, as you know, getting some of the dredging projects brought to the city when I was on the council and mayor, and I think that I have a fair amount of knowledge about harbor-related issues and waterfront issues that I can bring to that board, and I want to stay involved in a community service position that's a little lower profile than the ones you're choosing to sit in right now.
Okay. Now pass it.
Hi, my name is Michelle Leary. I'm a sport fishing captain at Burgess, and I've lived in this town for 31 years, and I grew up on the waterfront. I would be representing recreational.
Boating, yeah.
Boating. Okay. And I'd just like to be of service to the community.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name's Tom Laurie. I've lived in the area for 30 years. I've been exploring the bay that long. I'm familiar with the Tidelands Trust, the Tidelands Grants, leases, and in fact I've read all these leases. And we have a business down on the waterfront. It's not a marine related business. We have a little inn down there, and we're always interested in what's going on. And I'm a quick study on complex issues, and I have time to serve now because I've quit contracting.
Okay, why don't you hang on to the mic, and Betty, you want to start?
What next Monday night, the council is setting priorities for the general budget, but within the harbor budget, what would you see as the number one priority for next year?
I haven't read the harbor budget.
Let me say it differently. In general, knowing what you know about the harbor, what do you think it's most... what needs attention, and what would you make a priority that you would bring forward on the harbor board?
I'd say the boardwalk, the key thing to get built in this town. It's going to let people get out of their cars and walk and presumably shop too.
Thank you. Michelle? It would be the same question. What do you think the greatest need and that you would want to bring forward to attention for the Harbor Board this coming year?
I'm not familiar with all the things, but I would like to see a boatyard eventually. I think Morro Bay needs one, and it would help with some pollution problems.
Thanks.
Roger?
At the top of my list would always be the maintenance of the of a safe harbor passage and making sure that the dredging is done on a regular basis so that we don't have the loss of life that we've experienced in past years when maintenance wasn't done in a timely fashion.
Thanks.
Okay, Bill.
Actually, I'm very familiar with all three of these candidates. I don't think I'm going to ask any questions.
Okay, Rick.
I know Roger, of course, and I know Tom. I'm sorry, I don't know the young lady, Michelle, yet. And Roger, I just want to say thanks for applying for this and your continued work and what you've done for years and years now for Morro Bay. I don't have any questions for you. Michelle, what is it about you that thinks that, you know, you'd be an effective on the Harbor Advisory?
I would just like to be involved and with a lot of changes that I see are coming up. I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention to the Harbor Advisory Board meetings yet, and I'm not sure what they're all about.
Well, you're going to find out soon enough.
I know a lot of things are changing now with the fisheries going away, and that we need to find other options to bring
all right,
people
thanks.
In Morro Bay.
And thanks for offering your time. And Tom, what would be your number one priority as far as serving on that?
I think I already talked about it. The boardwalk. Number two,
yeah.
And maybe Pearl.
Actually, I know about Roger, and I know Tom, and I have never met you, Michelle. You just said that you haven't watched Harbor Advisory Board's meetings, and you may not have a TV. Do you have a television?
Yes, I have a television. I'm also a single mom and a fisherman. I did come to one Harbor Advisory Board, and I was very for meeting, and I was interested in it. It was, I think, two board meetings ago.
Right. When you talked about the boat haul out, you said that it's important for us to have one of those around here, especially to prevent pollution, because we've had some boats sink, kind of fall apart at the docks. So would you say that that would be one of your priorities, like in the top three priorities as a Harbor Board member, that you would be paying attention to pollution and environmental problems with the bay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I also know Tom and Roger pretty well. Michelle, will you be able to make the meetings? Will your schedule allow you to make a meeting every month?
Yes.
Okay, so you plan.
As long as I can bring my daughter.
How old is she?
6, and she's very quiet.
Okay.
We love an audience.
The other thing that I would suggest is that you get some copies of the previous meetings and on DVD and watch them so that you're up to speed on what's been talked about, or look at the minutes. You know, you can catch up so that you're familiar when they're talking about different issues. You know what it's about. That's really helpful. Okay. All right. We have three people, and I'm the way I'm seeing it, we've got Roger as the waterfront leaseholder, Michelle as the recreational boating, and Tom as the marine-oriented business. It's a business on the water, close enough. So is that all right with people as far as categories that way?
Works for me.
I want to ask Mr. Laurie if he wants to kind of hold out for Planning Commission, because I saw your application there. Or are you...
I'd like to serve on the Planning Commission.
There are several applications in for the Planning Commission.
Well, see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you'll hang around then? Or?
So do we want to go ahead and make appointments to this and then...
All right.
And then we could switch them over and then...
The deal is you can't serve on two boards?
No.
Oh, I see.
True. No, you cannot. Mm-hmm. Which would be your preference? Obviously, this one you're a shoo-in.
And so thus we can let Michelle and Roger go home.
Right.
Yes.
And then you'll stay around naturally to talk about being a planning commissioner, and then we'll go back and vote on Harbor. But you guys know that you're in.
Okay.
Obviously,
and Michelle, you will make for succinct answers, and it'll probably be a relief at those board meetings. That's very nice.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll do our final vote on Harbor later in the evening. And the next one, going by applicants, et cetera, looks like it's community promotions.
She said community promotions.
Community promotions. So anyone who applied for that, if you want to come up to the front chairs, please.
I'm sorry, I just had a thought back about the Harbor.
Uh-huh.
Could we not let, and I think this happened last time, once the members on the Harbor Board see who's there, that then they can kind of plug into their positions rather than us assign the positions? The advisory categories?
Oh.
It's our call. That's...
Okay. Yeah, those are the ones that are open and they happen to fit them rather easily. So,
okay.
It seems to be appropriate. If it was some question, I would...
Okay.
Perhaps think that. All right. Now, I'm not seeing Billy. Did anybody hear from Billy Clayton? Ed? Nothing? Okay.
So,
he's out. Nothing?
Maybe come to the community center.
In my packet, I've got Mr. Biagini. Mr. Clayton is not here. Ms. Reeves. And Susan Stewart, who I think that's who. You. And who are you?
Oh,
you're just in the front row.
No,
she's Kathy Albach. She's in the Planning Commission one. She's applying for a couple of them.
But her name did not get added to the list.
Have you run the wrong?
Okay.
No, it wasn't in
should
the
have.
List. And it wasn't in.
Yeah, should have. And Kathy, why don't you move over on that seat there, and then we can get the camera focused on you all easier.
So do we have a sheet?
She's under planning.
Gotcha. She's under your planning pile.
But she's applying for this too.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Okay. Bob,
I guess
you should be the top. Bob, could you maybe call Billy on the number that you've got for him and see
sure.
if he is at the community center? That would be unfortunate.
If he brings coffee,
he'd be very lonely.
Yeah. If he brings coffee, he's a shoo-in.
Okay, so we're looking at four people, Ed Biagini and...
How long
have you been on this?
I don't know. I'm Ed Biagini. I'm a current chair of the Promotions Committee, serving the end of a one-year term. And this group of people, as Ann said, this is probably one of the finest setups of the Promotions Committee I've ever seen since I've been involved, I think 10 or 12 years, whatever it is, that I've been on the committee. And I just still feel every time we get together, I just still feel, you know, myself fresh and energetic and motivated, and there's always new things with all the different ideas that are coming around. David Wiseman has been a terrific part of our group and always coming up with new ideas, and I look forward to hopefully continuing to be a part of the organization. It's wonderful.
Okay, Susan?
I'm Susan Stewart. I'm a 19-year resident of Morro Bay and have two children who are going through the school system here. One's off to college. I just bought a business here in town called Beads by the Bay, and I'm real excited about that. I've been doing cultural resource protection for about 12 years and think that's a big, important part of what Morro Bay is about, as well as the rest of the community. And I love the town. I'd like to see it be successful and healthy and a good place for children and families and tourists and everybody else in the county to come and spend their money. So that's why I'm here.
Okay.
Hi.
Kathy?
Good evening, Mayor Madam Peters.
And City Council, my name is Kathy Albach. I am a business owner, Seawind Gallery on Morro Bay Waterfront, next to the Chamber of Commerce. I have an interest in promoting our community, not only in our county and adjacent counties, but also abroad. I think we have an exquisite area, and I believe that it would be important to just get our name out there to the people that this is a tourist destination. It's a beautiful area, and I would love to serve my community in helping out. And thank you for your time.
Okay. Hang on to the microphone. And Melody, you want to start this time?
Yeah, and also the I think campgrounds are. We have a new revised campground. I think that would bring people in and inspire them to stay and explore the beautiful nature. We have just a beautiful habitat area here that I believe that people can look into, and it would keep them here. And I believe that's about all I have to say. Thank you.
And pass the mic to Susan.
I think just from having a business that's in the so-called old town of Morro Bay and seeing just a little bit of the season through from September through now, it seems important to me to encourage local people to come into town. I love the tourists. They're great. They're still coming, but not as many. In winter, I think businesses need to keep going by having the local people coming in. I think doing some little bit of local advertising and promotions that way, where maybe we give a discount if you've got a San Luis County address on your driver's license. I think maybe encouraging more small businesses that serve just the basic needs of people who live in the community so that they're not traveling. For me, I'd rather shop in town than go to a big box store anywhere, you know, and I think we've got some good businesses, but maybe rounding them out, encouraging a few more small businesses to come in that, I don't know, I was thinking the other day, do we have any men's clothing stores, you know, where do men go shopping? No, we need some. I like the idea of promoting the historic nature of the town. I think if the fishing industry is going to continue kind of with the problems it's having with environmental issues and all, we can at least promote it as a maritime town, do some kind of boat building facility. I think people would come and see that. I think if we had tours that were available that had historic properties, we've got some great old buildings in town, but nobody knows what they are, what the history was behind them. Put some plaques on, do some walking tours, bring the kids into town from other school districts to see what that's all about. I love that there's going to be a kite festival. I think just some new, fresh ideas like that to bring people into town.
Fulfill the promise. And that's that when we promise the tourist, the visitor to Morro Bay something, we hope that we have the infrastructure in place to fulfill that promise, including, you know, whether it's obviously the brand we've adopted is Discover Your Better Nature. And to that end, we promote the beauty, the environmental quality that we have in the harbor. Because tourism really to Morro Bay is about the ocean, and it's about our waterfront. And you know, that's my opinion. Now, what you guys made a great step in the right direction Monday night when you allowed the maritime folks to pursue or keep pursuing the idea of a maritime museum. I spoke with Rick Algert this afternoon, and we've actually invited Larry Newland. He'll be at the business forum a week from tomorrow. And he's going to give a presentation, and he's going to get some tough questions, because now that you've said, go ahead, beware, be cautious, but go ahead, now we want to know what's next. What are you guys going to do? I think having a maritime museum is just one more piece of this puzzle here that will keep people here longer. And it's the same with the events. I mean, as you know, what, three or four new events that are going to be coming this year, one new one last year. And I think the more events that we have, the more people are going to have more things to do and will stay here longer.
I think that's pretty much summed it up. But this Pursue Your Better Nature that we've been pursuing, I think it's a large element of it. And also the Maritime Museum and the tall ships. Now we have the two coming in. We've been heavily involved in that. And people come with ideas. We brainstorm at our meetings. And then we build on that. We promote the things to bring the people in, not only for that event, but hopefully for the next one and the next one. And that's our job. That's our job, is to make it known throughout the country. And as a matter of fact, we're looking into having the website available in other languages to even widen our audience and in that way help to fill up the town more often with more people.
Okay.
Yeah, for Ed, I know you know what the budget is.
Okay. For Ann, so you've been serving on this for about a year. Thanks for doing that. So what have you been able to offer this past year?
I've been on the web committee the web page subcommittee, and we've totally redone the web page. It's been very much vamped up, and we're continuing to look into other ways to improve it. So my focus has been pretty much there, although I've been on board with other things come up when I've been asked.
You're pretty good on the computer, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Good for you. That's all I have.
Okay. Bill?
Yeah, this is going to be out of some sort of field, like left or right. I know that the Promotions Committee, because I've been watching them for years and was on it for years, has worked very hard, and they've morphed into something that's I think, really a well-oiled machine, and they're working very hard to bring visitors and increase the stay. One of the things I've thought about are ways to, especially in the off-season, to try to encourage the folks that live around here to shop here too. Now that doesn't help the motels, but it certainly helps the merchants. And I'm just wondering, have you any thoughts on how we could convince, if nothing else, the 10,000 people that live here and shop somewhere else to at least try some of the stores that have the products they want?
Well, unfortunately, Billy's not here, but we were talking at the last meeting, and I believe that there's a plan for the local merchants to advertise through the website, which would help bring them to the attention of more people. And I would encourage everybody in Morro Bay to visit the website. There's things on there that you don't know. I'm just sure of it.
I'm sure you're right.
Bill, one of the things that we did last year was we actually, if you're familiar with a local, it's pretty much local, called VTV, Visitor Television. That's, in a nutshell, it's free to all the hotels. It's on Channel 22, and it is, it's basically, for Morro Bay's part, it's like a 30-minute looped act retail up in Morro Bay. So even if you chose not to spend the night in Morro Bay, at least come up for the day, eat lunch, visit the shops, and that was kind of what we were after. Currently, Greg Padgett, who used to own VTV, has made one proposal in his agendized for the next Promotions Committee to come up and talk about another idea with regards to video and shopping. So that's one of the things that we're doing. We haven't bought any advertising, say, in the Bay News or those kinds of things, but I also know that the Chamber is working very hard to, they're going to start an online store And that's one of the things that, the chamber members will be allowed to log in, go in, and actually sell their wares through morrobay.org, which I think if we can work this all out, and I think it's just going to be a wonderful wonderful addition to talking about the retail part of that and, shopping local.
Morro Bay goes e-commerce, huh?
I think one of the things that I see, again, in my few months as a business owner is people coming through and wanting to know where things are. I think as business owners, if we promote each other's businesses and support each other, I think we bring more people in. And I've had a lot of people say, well, how do you manage a bead store when there's one right around the corner? Well, people who like beads like beads, and they're happy to have two stores to go to. And I'm happy to say, check on Paula Radke and see what she has. I suggest places for people to go eat in town. I suggest places where my mother likes to stay when she comes to visit. Places to, I think if business owners know each other's businesses a little better, and maybe that would be something to do. I just joined the Chamber of Commerce and the Morro Bay Merchants Association, so I think, you know, there are ways to network with each other to help keep each other in business. I've had a lot of people send customers to my store who bought clothes somewhere and wanted some jewelry made to go with it, that kind of thing. Again, I think if we're in support of each other rather than in competition, we can bring more people in who know that they can find good places to go in our town.
Come in and they ask, you know, the best hotels, the best restaurants, the best places to shop. And I think it is very important to communicate with other business owners on, you know, just so that we can, you know, guide people that come into town and to stay here and, shop local. Shop local is a good slogan.
Betty? I kind of have two questions.
Okay.
But maybe I can split them up. For Ann and Ed, who have been on the committee, the question is, we have a chamber, in a sense, a legal chamber liaison on the committee. There's a seat for a chamber person. There's nothing there for the merchants. So my question to the two of you would be, with this promotion committee, with this chamber, with this merchants, how can we bring that together so the Uptown feels as involved in promotions as the Embarcadero does? And then for Susan and is it Kathy or Kathleen?
Kathy.
What have you two seen in other places that you think we could adopt and use here?
Well, I know two forms of advertising I feel very strongly about is one, I had a commercial run locally on KSBY for 4 months last year at this time, and it was amazing how much business I got because of that commercial just in the 4 months. It was just, it was amazing. The other thing is the website, e-commerce definitely is an absolutely innovative way to advertise, and I think that's those two, TV commercial, not only in our local community county, but I think in adjacent counties. I think also in, L.A., the larger cities would be definitely a, place to advertise Morro Bay.
Those sound like good ideas. I like the idea of doing something where, again, we get together as businesses and perhaps offer a 10% discount on some given special day, and that's advertised in the Tribune or one of the local papers so that people know if they're local they can come into town. Another thing I was thinking about is the New Times does the best of slow, and Morro Bay really ought to push their own businesses, and you know, we ought to load that thing up because I think people pay attention to that kind of thing. And
but you've added, I want to say, three members at large, if I'm not mistaken now. Used to be a slot for the Merchants Association, if I'm not mistaken, and long, years, long, long time ago, it was one of the categories. you might consider doing that again. I think it would be a wonderful, you know, asset. I mean, I know that the Merchants Association currently does their own advertising. You know, we've just been freed up, which you've allowed us to do a couple of years ago, to not be strapped by just promoting Morro Bay outside of San Luis Obispo County, or outside of, you know, we're allowed now to work within the community to do promotion here. It's still, in our understanding, it's still a tourist-oriented type of promotion, but it allowed us to do the billboards ideas and those kinds of things that, you know, were, like I said, we actually did some retail stuff last year with VTV. But back to the merchants thing, they're buying television ads. So it wouldn't, I wouldn't mind, I'm from a, just looking at the committee as a whole, having a member of the Merchants Association on that committee is not a bad idea at all. I mean, they've got, sure, they're able to apply and probably have applied, members of the Merchants Association, but to have a slot for them, I see nothing wrong with that at all.
Well, I agree with what Ed just said. I think they should be represented.
Okay, how many of you are members of the chamber? We've got that category here, so just, okay, 3 out of 4, okay. All right, my question is, if you've been watching the meetings, you know that the promotions committee is asking for extra money always to do more work, and certainly they deserve that extra money. However, if it is not forthcoming to the extent that they would like it to be, do you have any ideas for what you can still do differently or more on a limited budget?
Yeah. Well, Ed can cut more brush. You know, he went down and cleared the brush out in front of the billboard so that it can be seen from the highway. You know, we do a lot to try and save money, believe me. Well, we'd have to look at what you've given us, but we are wanting very much to widen our range. For so little compared to what somebody else would be spending on a website.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people like Billy will do it on their own time. Because we have to know how many beans we have and then go from there.
I understand. I'm not criticizing. I know you do a great job. I can tell you this.
If we were to get our money back into the budget that we've lost, we'd just be that much more better at what we do.
Okay.
I think that what you saw, the change in our marketing plan when our budget was reduced a couple of years ago, and that's why the specifics of what we would do if we had the reinstatement, at least of the $50,000 of it, we've kind of pulled in our horns. We said, where are we going to go with the limited funds that we feel that we have? And anybody who's looked at our media plan knows exactly how much an ad costs to run in a Sunset magazine. It's almost $3,000, $3,200, I believe, for one little tiny ad for 1 month. And so we decided that we'd concentrate more in the San Joaquin Valley. It's less expensive. We know we have a good client base there, and we didn't want to lose that group. But we also had what I thought was a good, solid group from Southern California. It would just be a trade-off. I mean, if we got no increase, if we received no increase in our budget whatsoever, you probably wouldn't see a lot of changes in what we're currently doing in our marketing plan. Obviously, we just really concentrated on the website and trying to make that as effective as we could. I mean, obviously you need to tell people about that morrobay.org exists, because it's not as natural as morrobay.com. But as we've reported at our last promotions committee, our web statistics tell us that the number one referral to morrobay.org is people typing in morrobay.org. And so that's a result of successful advertising, in my opinion, because you wouldn't naturally think to type in .org. So that says a lot. I don't see any major changes. I mean, if you've looked at the proposal from the promotions committee, you see what $50,000, what it doesn't go a long ways. I don't see getting away from Fresno and the San Joaquin Valley and going down to Southern California if we didn't get any kind of an increase. I think we'd probably generally, you know, stay there. Look at the success. We'd look at the success of the print media that we've done or currently doing this year when we go to form our marketing plan, the marketing plan for next year.
Okay.
Boy, this isn't something I know a whole lot about. It seems like the web idea would be less expensive than doing certainly commercials and, like you say, advertising with Sunset Magazine. So that seems like a really good path to go on. Just one other thought, and I don't know if this is something the committee offers.
Please. What I was saying is that you've already got a limited budget with promotions. If that wasn't increased much, what would you continue to do or do differently or do in addition on a shoestring?
Shop local.
Yeah.
Measure Q is going to be implemented in April. I think it's important that we continue shopping in our local area, bringing in the taxes. I think that's important.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, follow-ups? All right, so we'll vote on this one.
Yes, I'm sorry. Oh, did you say questions and comments?
Yeah.
I have a couple of comments.
Okay.
I ran into Peter Candela today at Cal Poly, and I says, oh, you know, we're going to vote on the promotions board, so I want to check on a couple of people. And Ed, he noted your energy, history, vitality. I mean, he just says, boy, Ed is the go-to guy. Now I hear you're cutting brush. And I said, well, what do you think of Ann Reeves? And he said, oh, Ann Reeves, man, what a team player she is. And she has always got these bright ideas and great ideas, innovative things that she brings to the committee. And then now I know I have to pick one of the other applicants. And the only thing I would say is I'm going to vote for Ms. Stewart because since Billy's not here, we're obviously losing a merchant from downtown. And I want downtown merchants to have a good representation on promotions. So I just want to say that's why I would make those votes.
Okay. Any other comments?
Well, I think Mr. Biagini knows what I'm going to say here, that I strongly believe in term limits, and he has been on a long time, and I think we had probably had this conversation last time.
A couple times.
Yeah. And so I want him to know it's not personal, but it's according to how I perceive city government should run.
Okay. I'll only say one thing in response to that, and it's not to argue, but that I do believe it's really important to have a hotel representative, a restaurant on there, because that is such an important part of promotion. So I tend to agree with you with a long time, and it has been a long time, and he's done a wonderful job, but he's also filling a position that isn't filled by anyone else. So. Okay. Voting? Pass them this way. Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, you need to put your individual names on there as well as your ranking or the whatever other information you put on there.
I did.
Put
record. Been doing it a while. You're creaking.
Yeah, it's more than three numbers here. I'm in trouble.
We need some Jeopardy music. Da 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 da. You're the
karaoke.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to leave to go check on the doors. It's kind of chilly up here.
I'm sorry, do what? Oh, okay, sure. Thank you, Nancy.
You're awesome.
AGP is there always. Ta-da.
Madam Mayor, the council's made its selection with four votes for Ed Biagini, four votes for Susan Stewart, and four votes for Kathy Albaugh.
Okay.
And I have to read the votes into the record because of the Brown Act, and Mayor Peters' votes were for Ed Biagini, Susan Stewart and Kathy Albach. Councilmember Grantham's for Kathy Albach, Ed Biagini, and Susan Stewart. Councilmember DeMeritt, Biagini, Reeves, and Stewart. Councilmember Winholz, Albach, Reeves, and Stewart. And Councilmember Pierce, Biagini, Reeves, and Albach.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ann Reeves.
And thank you very much for your year. We appreciate that. Okay. Well, we have a lot of applicants for Planning Commission, so that'll take the longest. How about we do the Citizens Oversight Committee next? Is that all right? Okay, those of you who have applied for the Citizens Oversight Committee, this is a new committee to keep us on our toes as regarding Measure Q expenses. And because it's a new committee and we wanted to extend beyond council terms as much as possible, we're going to appoint three people to a three-year term. And three.
Decide on that?
We wanted it to go beyond council terms, members, so that it wasn't a political appointment as much as possible.
So rather than
so
two
that
and
way
fours,
staggers it.
It's going to be three and six.
Right. Okay. So are there any of you who would prefer the shorter term, the three-year term? Okay. Okay. And, all right. So, okay. Jim and Cheryl and Joyce and Newman. Okay. Bill. Okay. All right. So we'll... No, are we missing somebody again on our list? Let's see.
We've got Homer and Joyce and Lanny and Jim and William and Graham.
Okay, Homer, Joyce, Lanny, Jim.
So I think
Bill,
I don't
Graham,
know who this.
Cheryl.
What's your name?
Yeah.
It's Jean.
What is your name again?
For the city. Oh, for the Citizens Oversight Committee? Oh, this is Citizens Oversight. You applied for planning, that's right.
No, she's applying for planning.
There we go.
She misunderstood.
You would probably hope to have that process getting over by now, but...
Okay, so now we've... Okay. All right. There's going to be 3 3-years and 2 6-years. If one of you is chosen for a 6-year because that's what's open, is that all right? Is anybody that can't serve the 6 years?
You can always resign.
Yeah, realizing you can resign, but the numbers seem to indicate that we may have to do that. Okay. All right. This particular committee is a new one. It's because of Measure Q. What we want and what we promised in that ballot initiative was that we would be answerable to a committee from the community as to how that money is spent to make sure that we spend it the way we promised we would. And so that's what your job will be. And with that introduction, who's got the mic? Okay, Mr. Newman, would you like to start, please? Introduce yourself, tell us why you'd like to be on this one.
I'm Bill Newman. Have lived in Morro Bay since 1962, and I'm always looking for a way to fit in with some volunteerism, and I think this would be a good...
Some value to this committee.
I'm Joyce Lundy. I'm a retired Bank of America manager. I know a little something about fiscal responsibility. I get audited all the time, so now I get to be one, hopefully. And I do love this community. I think it's extremely important. The voters voted on this measure specifically, I believe, because they knew it'd be an oversight committee. And it's our responsibility to make sure that money, every penny of it, is spent correctly for public safety.
My name is Graham Pask. I've been a resident of the city for well over 15 years. I have three children here going through the school system, taking part in other city functions such as after-school program, youth sports. Served this community for over 13 years as a reserve firefighter. I have a very, very passionate about this city, about the residents of the city. I think for people to have good faith in their local government, there needs to be transparency and oversight, and I think this committee would be an excellent way to provide that service to our community.
I'm Cheryl Taylor. I've been a bookkeeper bean counter for about 40 years, and I enjoy working with numbers, and I'd like to be on this committee to make sure that you guys do what you said you were going to do with the money we get from Measure Q.
Good evening. I'm Lanny McKay, resident of Morro Bay for some, well, over 30 years. I'm not going to figure it out. Anyway, like Homer, I was on the Measure Q committee to get this on the ballot. I have started and sold several businesses in my lifetime, been responsible for making payroll, and I know what a budget's about. And I know that this city has been in financial trouble. Measure Q should solve a good part of that, and the money needs to be spent in the manner for which it was voted on.
Good evening. I'm Jim Nance. I've lived in Morro Bay for over 20 years. I would like to work with the city staff and council and help with the this money, to see that it's spent on the city services infrastructure, especially the fire department, that the funds go where they need to go and are best used, and that we get the most out of it for our money. And that's basically it. Thank you.
Okay. And to reiterate, it's not just to make sure that this council spends it correctly, but future ones. And that's the whole point of this committee and why it's so important, so that the promises made here.
In the past, I've talked about a lot. I've come up and I've talked a lot of times about the problems the city has and the finances and the sewer and the different things within the city that we're having problems with. I think this would be an opportunity to, for myself, if I was on the committee, to basically put help put my mouth, my money where the mouth, my mouth is. And since it's the community's money, I would just like to do like a lot of my neighbors have said. A lot of my neighbors are very concerned, but they don't get involved. They don't want to be involved. Well, I feel like I could help represent them and make sure that mainly we get the most for our money and get the most out of this tax for the community.
How do you see the committee interacting with the community, the city council, and staff? How do you see it functioning at what level?
I believe that the working relationship between this committee, the council, and staff is important to the functioning of it, and I suggested, or I met with Bob Hendricks this afternoon to find out whether or not it was possible to hypothecate the revenues coming in from Q and allocate them that way for the construction of the fire department to go forward with the both phases, in as much as that the fire department was the priority, the number one selection by the voters on Q. And once that's taken care of, then another meeting can be held and more decisions as to where that money should go.
I don't really know how to answer this because this is all new with the interaction with the staff and city council, but I'm willing to work with anybody to get the fire station and all the other needs that people voted for.
Well, as you point out, with a new committee, I think we can hit the ground running and kind of set up those relationships as we see fit. I think the committee will serve as a good voice for the community at large. I know personally with my efforts to promote Measure Q and my interaction with the school districts and other citizens, I have a lot of people coming up to me and sharing their views on the tax revenue stuff, and I think it would be a excellent sort.
Citizens of Morro Bay want them to be. I do believe that the North Morro Bay Fire Department is going to be our priority. I know that they're approximately, depending on sales revenue, they're looking at about $650,000 the first year. It's going to depend on what the sales go, you know, what our sales are, but it's going to have to be very well spent and very carefully spent. But I do believe the fire station should be our first priority.
I think the citizens were pretty clear about what they wanted when they passed Measure Q, and I believe this committee is basically representing the citizens and is another voice between the council and the city staff. I would envision the city presenting to the council their findings about how the money was spent and basically be a different set of eyes than the staff's position on the on how the money was being spent.
I don't see myself on this committee as being one who is supposed to have an opinion about what the money is spent for. That's the council's job. The council will undoubtedly be setting policy for this money and what it should be spent for, and then it'd be up to us to decide whether they spend it accordingly or not. I worked with the finance department a little bit, and don't see any reason we couldn't get along fine with them in trying to review all the figures and facts about it. But I think that we just need to be the committee that reviews what the council has done and work under a council's policy.
Okay.
Mr. Newman, since you have the mic, what's your understanding of how the money is supposed to be spent?
The Measure Q was set up so that there was no commitment legally, and therefore the council could do most anything. However, there's enough conversation and discussion and so on. For instance, the fire department has been mentioned, fire station, so that I think the council may be pretty well obligated in what it decides, but I think it needs to put it in writing what it does decide.
Basically, the Measure Q committee outlined 10 items.
I don't have to take up your time, Homer. I mean, be it told, we were all part of the committee that you were in charge of that went through this, so we all have a pretty good understanding of you. Weed back being fire. So that's what we told the citizens, and that's what we have to follow. Thanks
just
for your...
Just to correct that, it's not just public safety, it was storm drains and streets as well.
Right, right. Okay. Joyce, I've worked with you a lot. I know you pretty well. Graham, I just met you tonight. Thanks for coming here. Lanny, of course, I know you and Cheryl. Jim, I met you in 1969 when we went to basic training together in the Army, and I had reacquainted with you about a month ago, so that was kind of interesting. What is your understanding of how the money is to be spent, and what is your priority?
Well, my understanding of how it's supposed to be spent is...
I don't think the mic's on.
Yeah, we're on. Now we're on.
There you go.
Okay, once again. My understanding is from the people that came around to the door getting votes for the measure was for fire and infrastructure, streets, and... possibly that infrastructure could be the sewer, towards the sewer, water, anything that's in the infrastructure. But basically the first thing that I understood it to be was the fire department, taking care of the fire department. Whatever the city chooses to put it into, as long as it's infrastructure, I would be, my position is to see that it was spent on that.
All right, thank you.
Melody?
Yeah. I worked on the Measure Q committee off and on, and when I would talk to people, many citizens in town expressed a little cynicism about an oversight committee. I was wondering what characteristic, a personal characteristic that you have that would help this committee, would add to this committee the possibility of overcoming citizen cynicism. And we could start with Mr. Nance, probably.
Well, cynicism of people, it's pretty hard to overcome. But all I could do is to do my best to work with the staff, the council, and put my input in on where it sees, and just do the best I could to oversee that it went that way, but to cooperate with the staff and the city council in that manner.
Thank you.
a factor when the city council, if anybody on the city council, even if they're the only one voting that way, votes to use the money in a manner for which we did not vote and for which this measure was supported.
The only thing I have to offer would be honesty to overcome cynicism. That's the only way to talk it down, I guess, is just tell them the truth.
I think the personal quality that I'd bring would be integrity and trust. In 13 plus years of serving the citizens of this community, people have turned to me in their greatest time of need. They open their homes to me and come to me to solve their problems in their time of crisis, and I think I'd carry that level of trust and integrity over to this commission as well.
I think I would have to say something very similar. I have a good reputation for integrity in my business dealings in this community, having been a bank manager here for several years. I also am considered a good communicator. I'm very community oriented, love the community, love the people in it. And I think that one of the things that we really have to take care of is being very detail oriented and making sure that each penny is accounted for. And we have to communicate that to the community. And I have heard that same cynicism I'm with the chamber and with the Rotary, and a lot of people did not believe that the Oversight Committee would really be able to do the job. And it's our goal to make sure that they understand that we will do that job.
That was a great speech. I think that, personal integrity, and the other thing that I would offer is to try to be completely objective about the results of the findings that the committee would go through. I think that if the committee, if the staff and the city council end up spending the money that was intended and not spending the money on administrative salaries, I think the public is not going to be any more cynical about this type of committee.
Over the years of working with agencies and groups, I think I've shown a high level of integrity, and you can count on me for communicating well with the public.
Thank you.
Okay, Betty?
Obviously, there's an odd number of people on the committee in case there has to be votes.
On the new futures committee, and we've probably met 25 or 30 times in the last year. We've yet to have a vote. We basically come to an unanimous agreement about every issue that we have and then move forward from there. I think this committee should basically be the same way, is that the group would work together and prepare their findings for the city council.
Well, I think we have to study the issues and be very well informed of the votes that we take. A lot of discussion, but a quorum is a quorum. And you have to understand that it may not go the way you want it, but you still work together. And whatever the majority of the vote is, that's what you work with.
I tend to agree with her answer. With the other addition, that what we're going to be called upon is to analyze numbers. And money's either going to be spent, end up being spent a certain way, or it's not. We can't magically move numbers from one column to another. So I don't really anticipate much deadlock or heated debate on how the numbers add up and break apart.
Then let me put you on the spot for a minute.
Okay.
It may not be in terms of what you come up with in terms of numbers, but how you might communicate that to the public or how you need to address the council. If there's a disagreement about that.
Looking at all the members here who have applied, I think we all have the good of the city in our mind and our objectives, and I don't think working to a consensus, a unanimous agreement, would really be an issue. If it comes down to a vote, as was stated earlier, there's an odd number. There's going to be winners and someone who doesn't. So I think it would just come down to the vote after a lot of teamwork and discussion.
Well, I think we're dealing with numbers, with five people. We all have the same vision of what we want to do with that money, that we could certainly come to a consensus without splitting a vote.
I have to agree with that. I don't think there's going to be a problem if there's a difference of opinion, I think it can be talked out and discussed. I've been on the board of directors for a number of corporations, and that seems to be the way it works at the board level. I'm happy with all the people that are up here tonight, and I think it's going to work fine. As far as the citizens are concerned, I think they're going to keep an eye on not only the city council, but they'll keep an eye on this oversight committee, and we still have our public comment period, too.
To the Treasury, even possibly. I always try to get the best deal out there, and I would encourage the city to do that, too, and especially with fire and that.
Okay. Any other follow-up? All my questions have been answered. Okay. So we will vote on this one, then. And just to review, Joyce, Jim, Bill, and Cheryl all said that they would like a 3-year term. So when you do vote, indicate the term as well. Well, we're appointing them to the other 3-year or 6-year term, so we do need to have it.
I would be interested in either.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying worry about your vote, just when you put it down. Okay, we have a result. All right, if we could have your attention, Mr. Hendricks will announce the result.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the council, there were 5 votes cast for Homer Alexander, 5 votes cast for Joyce Lunday, 4 votes cast for Graham Pask, 4 votes cast for Cheryl Taylor, and 3 votes cast for Lanny McKay. So that would be your new committee.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And we'll let you know when the first meeting will be, which won't be for a while because we don't get the money for a while.
Madam Mayor, I need to read the individual results.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Council Member Pierce, Homer Alexander, Joyce Lundy, Graham Pass, Cheryl Taylor, Lanny McKay. Mayor Peters, Homer Alexander, Graham Pass, Lanny McKay, Joyce Lundy, and Cheryl Taylor. Rick Grantham, Homer Alexander, Cheryl Taylor, Graham Pass, Joyce Lunday, Jim Nance. Councilmember DeMeritt, Bill Pask.
Okay, so those 2 of you have the 6-year term. The rest of you are on a 3-year term. Thank you very much. All right. Planning Commission. I hope we have enough chairs. Along the front, I mean. Otherwise, we'll have to spread out and fit another one in. All right, Kathy, you'd already been appointed. Are you? Okay, you accepted that other appointment, so is that? Okay. Thank you.
Is it on?
Okay. Now, I don't know all of you, so William Luff?
It's Laffey, L-U-F-F-E-E.
Laffey, okay. And then Gerald is second. I want to get them in order so we all know who we're looking at. So Gerald Lure is 2. And Michael Lucas is 3. We're starting from the right to us. And we have William Laffey and Gerald Lure and Michael Lucas so far. And then that stranger over there in the leather jacket, I don't know who he is, Dr. Taft. So he's number 4. And I should know your name because you were over there before. Joyce? Okay. Joyce Bauer is number 5. And number 6, Kevin? Yeah, Michael. Okay, sorry. Michael Armstrong, okay. 6, and Tom is 7. And then we have Kevin. Who's Kevin?
Kevin's not here.
Kevin's not here, okay. So, Amity. Okay, is number 8. And Jean is number 9, right? Okay. Now, does everybody have that same order? You know where we are? Okay, now that we have you all in order in front of us.
5-year resident and business owner in Morro Bay. I've got a background in design and construction, and I have an expertise in site planning and planning instruments, and I'd like to be able to serve and make this community a better community.
I'm Michael Lucas. I've been in South Bay 5 years, Morro Bay 5 years as a resident. I'm an associate professor of architecture at Cal Poly. I've been a registered architect since 1983. Before coming to Cal Poly, I practiced in the Chesapeake Bay Area, primarily in community facilities and educational facilities.
Well, my name is Bob Taft, and I'm applying for reappointment because I very much enjoyed serving the last 2 years, and I believe I've enjoyed being part of what I feel is a very positive commission, a commission that has forged a good working relationship have great respect for the people that I serve with now and for the people that I've served with who are no longer on the commission. And I think we have a lot of work left to do, and I'd like to continue to participate in that process.
I'm Joyce Bauer, and I'm about a five-year resident of Morro Bay, but we have owned property here since 1974. And we are permanent residents, and I am a retired teacher and real estate agent, so I know a little bit about the planning. My desire to maintain Morro Bay as a charming place for the residents and tourists alike is one of my very pet projects. Also, the environment and any planning that is done needs to be ecologically, environmentally safe. We have our bay that's not in too good of health, and we need to protect that, and other areas, our estuaries and things like that. So that's why I applied.
Hi, my name is Mike Armstrong. I watch the Planning Commission on TV, and as I'm watching it, I'll think to myself, I would like to do that. That looks like fun. On the other hand, merchants have here. I like community service. I've been a scoutmaster. I've been involved with the community garden, getting that up and running. With our church, we've got a children's center that we started several years ago, and I took part in getting that started. Also with our church, we've got some extra property that we decided to sell, and that evolved into a bigger project. I became the coordinator on that, and most of you are aware that that turned into a 7-lot subdivision. It's been quite involved, so I've been working with the planning department, public works. I've been to the planning commission, and I've also been above to the city council here. So I've learned a lot from that. So anyway, I would like to participate, and I feel that I have some experience that could help. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tom Laurie, 30-year resident. I've been a builder for 30 years, and I just quit. Couldn't afford to retire. So I've been running projects through the city of Morro Bay for that period of time as well. In addition to building, I've taken an interest in some of the bigger issues in Morro Bay, the height limits, the commercial residential mix, and development in various parts of the community. And a quick study on complex issues, and I think I would be a real asset to the Planning Commission.
My name is Amity Perry, and I've been a resident of Morro Bay for 10 years, and I have a degree in finance, real estate, and law. I currently am teaching at Cuesta College. I teach computer applications, and I've been teaching there for 10 years. I left the county recently, a management position where I was an administrative services officer and dealt with the elderly and difficult families. And I've also worked for a Fortune 100 company as an investor relations analyst, where I dealt with investors and the public. And I also watch the Planning Commission on TV, just doing a project that's done well. The architecture looks nice. And I have no hidden agendas. I'm not a realtor. I'm not a developer. I don't have any friends that are realtors or developers. And I just care about the city.
That sounds pretty good. I'm Jean McGuire, and I have a background of community service where I lived before for many, many years. My husband used to say, don't go to the meeting, you'll wind up being the chairman. So now I'm retired, so I'd like to get back into community service. And City of Elmont, Morro Bay, has been a really friendly place. I used to come up here on my weekend retreats for years and years and years, and when it came time to retire, there was no place else to go but Morro Bay. So now I'm living in a single-wide mobile home from a 2,500-square-foot house, and that's a challenge. But that also gives me free time. I've worked on county things for Los Angeles County on a couple of committees for the Los Angeles County through the Human Relations Commissioner for Los Angeles County, as well as many things in El Monte, where I lived for 40 years. I see planning, and just the word planning itself means looking towards the future. And so I see any position on a planning commission is the decisions you make, the choices you make, the advice you give to the city council on a particular project has to do with whatever the future is for the city of Morro Bay. So I think even things like code variances and so forth is an important decision to make based on the future of the city. And I would like to see the planning commission go beyond just riding herd on code variances, because it seems to me like I went down to the city hall, I bought the code book and the master plan, read them both, and the master plan is really outdated. We are no longer a quaint fishing village. And also the income from the fishing has drastically been reduced from what it was a decade, it was like about $10 million. Now it's down to around $3 million. We've also lost a lot of the income from PG&E when they were not allowed to rebuild, and now we're on a private one, and they don't use it there much. There's not much income coming in. So planning to me means taking the future of the city into account on the Planning Commission and making decisions that would increase us to be on the Planning Commission and make my part and contribution along those measures that I've just mentioned. Okay. Hope I wasn't too long talking.
Thank you. Okay, who hasn't gone first? Rick? I think you have it.
Just a comment, really. I think we have a current lack of building experience on our current panel that we have now, and so I've made up my mind based on the people I think can most help the people that are in place.
Asking questions now, though.
Well, I'm not into questions. I don't have a question, so I just want to make a comment.
Okay, well, let's go to questions first, then.
Okay.
Because you never know, you might change your mind.
Well,
Melody?
Well, I didn't know many of you, and I thought I knew what I wanted or who I wanted, and now I want about five of you.
Uh-huh, me too.
Yeah.
And there's only two positions.
Can we have an 11-person panel?
And so that has made it more difficult. I appreciate the earnestness. But one of you said something, I think it was Amity said, you watch the meetings and sometimes you scream. So my question is to each of you, what do you see as a planning problem? Either, you know, the process or whatever it is, the code, the decisions. What's the planning problem in Morro Bay? And if there is no planning problem, let me know that too.
Oh, yeah, there is a planning problem. Can you hear me? Number one, affordable housing. Number one, the seemingly unplanned vision of the city of how it's going to look physically by the building projects that get approved. There's a couple of them that just absolutely turned my stomach inside out. And on the Planning Commission, I think they need to take into consideration not only whether there's no code variances, but how does it fit into the visual plan of the city of Morro Bay. So that affordable housing and a vision of how the city is supposed to look needs to come in. As far as the development is concerned, in all the years that I've lived, I've been in several different building projects.
They decided to do the affordable housing off-site, and then it was a rentals instead of ownership. And I think that sometimes variances are given because people claim financial hardship, and I don't think that that is something that is appropriate. And also variances are sometimes given as a trade for something. We'll give you a variance if you underground the telephone pole or because it benefits the community. And some of the things that have been given I don't think really benefit the community. I think that's the time when we have our bargaining power, and we need to be strong and ask for things that maybe sometimes more than one thing that does benefit the community. And as far as the affordable housing goes, I do think that that is an issue. I know one council member has suggested the it's a street or a right-of-way near the Ringley Trailer Park. So I think there are some solutions. And also I'm concerned with the environment, with the trees, that trees were an issue on the Quintana project. And again, I think that the Planning Commission needs to hold strong and ask for those things when they're asking for permission to do the project. So that's
it. Planning problems. I don't have any real axe to grind as far as planning problems, but I'd say the some of the big problems facing planning decisions in Morro Bay are the commercial residential mix in the downtown and in the north end of town, and overall parking problems. There's some other problems that aren't really probably in the realm of the Planning Commission. That's a couple of these big projects recently approved have apparently kind of completed themselves about halfway, and there doesn't seem to be any method to make them finish it. So on South Main, there's a big project that six houses are being completed, or six or eight houses, but the commercial is probably not going to be done because of the economics of it. I think the Planning Commission, I think those kind of decisions are out of the hands of the Planning Commission, but they are a problem with planning. So I'd say parking, the commercial residential mix, and then some height limits.
With tourism to a full-blown tourist economy. And I think it's important that with every project we look at and in the long-range planning that we try to retain the identity that we have here. I think we all like Morro Bay the way it is, and even though it's going to evolve, I think if we do it right that we can retain our character.
I agree about the low cost housing. I think it's kind of deplorable in a way that we don't have it, but then where would we put it? And I don't have any really big problems with the Planning Committee. I do think that as this gentleman said, there were some things that have been approved and not finished, and some things are kind of eyesores, and we do really need to maintain our city as a beautiful place to come to. The commercial part around Long Main Street North is kind of deplorable in a way. Probably nothing the Planning Committee can do about it, but I think they have a big job ahead of them with the boardwalk, if they're going to go ahead on that. But basically, we need to keep our city as a good, charming place and not a sprawling mecca of mixed-up commercial residents.
The question is, what are the problems with the planning process? Nancy, could you put in another tape? Because we're going to be here for a while. I think that in my point of view, a lot of the problems that have been discussed by other applicants are very valid, but they come from one sort of root problem, which is that many of the city's long-term planning instruments are out of date and are no longer really consistent with the vision that the community has for itself. And I think if I had to pick one problem that needs to be addressed is that we need to find a way, you know, think outside of our traditional box that would work very well if we had 5 or 6 excess millions of dollars to hire more people. But nonetheless, the job needs to be done, and I think we need to together to find some way to move ahead with that. And the other things that I would like to see would be to generate greater public participation in the planning process, particularly when our commission is discussing issues that have community-wide significance. I mean, sometimes we're just looking at individual projects, and you know, they don't really concern people who don't live in the area. But when we're talking about things like the subdivision ordinance or the parking management plan, or as we'll be coming back, the general plan and the zoning ordinance, we need to find more ways to get the public involved. And there's a couple of no-cost ways that we could do that. One is simply when the agenda for the city council meeting is published in the Bay News, we could put, when there is a general interest item coming up before the Planning Commission, we could just squish things together a little bit in that ad, and at the bottom put P.S., you know, the following week, the whatever parking management plan will be before the Planning Commission. Please come by. And the other way would simply be to use the broadcast of our meetings to perhaps at the beginning of the meeting and at the end of the meeting again, say to people, next, you know, 2 weeks from now, we're going to be discussing this. You know, please show up. Give us your input on it. So those are the two things that I would like to address in an additional term.
Like some of the folks on the last panel, I was part of the New Futures Task Force as well, and that's giving me an insight into, I think, the longer term issues here. And I think a lot of times with boards, you get focused on these tactical things that are important, but I agree with the last speaker. I think it's the long-term issues here in Morro Bay. What happens in the North Embarcadero area? What's the nature of the way the master plan documents change? I think we're in an era now where building practices have radically changed. The ideas about sustainable practices, green construction, the shorter-term issue of variances and things like that will have to be handled with you know, appropriate discernment. But I would say it's the long haul that we really need to be taking a look at right now.
Well, if there is a wish list, there's two items or two areas that I find most concerning. One, I'd like to see a much better pedestrian interface for the commercial district to make to bring people from the Embarcadero up through town and create, using the planning procedures to create a much friendlier walking town. I think that would drive sales, it would drive revenues, it would turn this town into what it should be and what most of our visions probably have for it. To create a user-friendly, pedestrian-centric commercial district. Part of that is with including mixed-use development, but to make it a more viable commercial area and a prettier, just a nicer place to be rather than bare sidewalks. The other problem I see is the changing character of the residential areas, where the town now is in transition. And we need to be able to scale development viably so that it's economically viable for people to recoup their investments in their homes, but also create the character and the variable scale and variable massing and of the homes to create that public, private, public, semi-public, private interface on for each home, so that it can then protect its part of the street and its part of the community. That's how you tie residential to its streetscape. And I think we've got some very simple ways that we could do that with changing just a few definitions in the planning documents. We can create where we encourage porches. We encourage giving the incentives for people to build correctly and design correctly. And I would like to see that. I would love to.
I think, you know, again, as a planner, I'm not real familiar with exactly what's going on here, but I ride my bike every weekend. I live up by the golf course. And I think my landscape architect told me that the other day is that, you know, individual projects, they might conform to code, but they're not with the spirit of the law. In other words, you're seeing the largest types of homes you can actually build, but architecturally, they look terrible. I mean, they really, really do. That's one of my pet peeves, and I don't know if we as a planner can change that, but the spirit of the law. I live on Bradley Street, and I'm going to tell you a little story. A lawyer came into town. He bought a bungalow home. He introduced himself to his neighbors and said, "Welcome to the neighborhood. I'm going to block your whole view. Hello." And he built a 5,000 square foot home on Cabrillo Street. You probably know what it is. He had a variance on his deck, overlooks another person's living room. God knows how he got the variance. But I think what the problem with the planning commissioner, in my viewpoint here, is every project somehow or other gets a variance somehow, or it there's no like future where, you know, this is what we would like to see it, and it needs to conform to that vision, and so I think it's a two-prong effect, and that's about my only thing. It seems like every project gets a variance, and you know, like the codes, really. I followed that too, and I didn't realize that it's now only rentals and it's not ownership type of homes over on Sunset, if that is the case. But there's no accountability, and I know that there's an economic aspect of building a home and everything like this, and everyone would like to pay maybe $50 to $100 a square foot, even if that's reasonable right now. But it's going to really, really impact the vision and the future of Morro Bay. And I'd like to actually, I think that's the biggest problem that we have here, the way some of these homes look when they are built.
Okay, keep the microphone. Betty?
Mr. Grantham made the comment that he felt that some of the current members didn't have professional background in the fields that you would normally see that come before planning, like either they're a planner or an architect or a builder or whatever. And
very honest with you. And that's why I'm joining the Planning Commission. I do not want to see this place. I've been a salesman all my life. I've traveled all up and down the coast of California. I chose to live here in Morro Bay and retire here. And I do not want to see this place, be honest with you, get destroyed. And I think I can add some vision to that aspect of it, and hope to have that passion to be able to maintain a quality of life that I've seen destroyed in Ventura, in you know, even Laguna Beach where my sister lives. It's just so impacted. And I'm not a planner, but I think I add that passion and that vision to be able to offer that insight to anything that comes before the Planning Commission for the city of Morro Bay.
Well, I am a builder. I've worked in the design fields for, you know, over 30 years. I know residential, I know commercial, I know green building. I've done completely off-grid homes. I've built adobes. I've built, you know, every green technology out there. I know how builders think. I know how developers think. I know how you can tweak the rules and either get by on stuff, or you can tweak the rules and make things better. And that's kind of the background I would be bringing to the commission, and I'd like to have my chance.
I guess the hardest thing is that all of the decisions that get made are about things that haven't happened yet. And so it's the ability to understand what could happen, how it's going to happen, and be able to envision something that's being talked about in very abstract terms. And I think that comes from training and experience. I mean, I've renovated my own homes, including one from 1835 in Baltimore. I've run my own architectural practice at a very small level. And I've worked with developers, although more often with community groups. And I think it's the idea that you have to be very nimble about lateral thinking at a very large scale. I think you have to look at it in terms of the building itself, the spaces that are created by it. You have to be able to, you know, discern a lot of things that are very complex that through words don't come across. Even the materials that probably the Planning Commission gets given to look at for things like variances.
Aspect and I think that those of us who don't have architectural backgrounds, and I don't, probably have to work a little bit harder than someone who did. In other words, for me, I have to admit those insights do not come naturally. I have to sit there, pore over the plans, go out to the site, put my hands up, you know, so that I would not deny that some design background would make my job easier. I think that probably more important is the judgment and trying to find ways to reconcile the vision of an individual who is standing before you with the vision of the community as expressed through the zoning ordinance and this sort of thing. So I think that I cannot offer an architectural background. I think I can offer 2 years of experience with the second aspect of that. And that's what I would like to bring forward.
Of course, I'm for putting residents on the committees too. I don't have the background of some of these gentlemen here, but I have had experience with contractors, and they always haven't been good ones. So having a contractor or whatever on a board doesn't actually mean that everything's going to be A-OK. It could be. I'm not downing anybody here. But it was the Morro Bay Contractors that built our garage when we had a home built up here in the 80s, I guess, especially for our garage to house our boat. And when they got done with the new house and garage, it was about this far, too short, too narrow to get our boat in it. And that made a big impression on me. And then we've down south had our house remodeled several times over the 30 years we lived there, and things weren't always real super duper, but residents sometimes have a very realistic approach to things, whereas maybe other people wouldn't see. They don't see down to the residential person's view or sight.
Developed it, although I'm not a developer, we developed it as a four-unit PUD. And what we did was there are four individual houses with a common area. They're very compact. They're 1,250 square feet each, three-bedroom, two-bath with a two-car garage. And they fit in with the neighborhood nicely. Plus, we were able to price them as the least expensive new homes on the coast at that time. So I feel like I've had a good experience there with affordable housing that could help.
I don't think a construction experience is absolutely necessary to be a planning commissioner or development experience. But I do believe the most important aspect of having the experience is understanding what goes on both sides of the counter. the people in the planning department are real people too, and having worked with these people in various capacities over the years gives you a better understanding of their problems as well. So I think that kind of experience is helpful.
Well, I'm not an architect or a contractor, but I have remodeled 5 homes in the last 15 years. And like I said, I'm remodeling my home right now in Shasta. And I don't believe in McMansions. And like you said, a contractor built the Avalon project with the staircase problems. So I feel like I have a good eye for design. I know that the decisions the Planning Commission is making, the citizens will be looking at these homes for the next 50 years. Having remodeled 5 homes, I know what problems can occur, and I'm familiar with blueprints, and I think that I have a passion for real estate. I drive by all the projects that the Planning Commission talks about, and I think I'm a concerned citizen, and I think that I have the insight to make the correct decisions, and I represent the average guy.
Being a developer and the Planning Commission when it comes to code variances, and you need somebody who can help them to come to a decision that doesn't affect the vision or the view of the city, and at the same time gives the developer the opportunity to operate. And I think that what's happened is, through no problem on the part of the Planning Commission, because I've been to the Planning Commission meetings and I've watched them on TV, is they are all very dedicated people. But if you don't realize that you're being pressured and know how to bring about a resolution that satisfies both sides, then you wind up with the wrong decision. So my years of being a mediator and conflict resolution should be helpful to the Planning Commission.
Okay. Bill?
No question.
All right. I have just a couple of very brief ones. First of all, serving on the Planning Commission, as Dr. Teft can attest, takes a lot of time. There's 2 meetings a month. They're long meetings, and there's a stack of paper to read before each meeting, and there's a lot of research to be done. First question that I would ask each of you to answer is, do you honestly have that time to do the job well? The second question is, architectural review boards are working in some cities, and it's something that Morro Bay has always traditionally shied away from very strongly. Do you feel that perhaps it's time to have an architectural review board, and if so, why?
Yes, I do, and I'd be willing to serve on the committee. Now that I'm retired and the apartments are running themselves, I have plenty of time to do that. I'm really eager to get involved and spend the time and work at it.
Okay.
I have the time. I'm only teaching part-time right now at Cuesta, and I feel like I'm already doing the job. Like I said, I go to all the properties, and I watch faithfully. I also would be interested in being on the Architectural Review Committee, and I think that's a great idea. It would give us an opportunity to brainstorm before things are approved. So,
I have the time. I applied, a year ago when there was a vacancy, but I hadn't finished up with some of my business yet. As far as architectural review, the example I would give you is the Cayucos small-scale neighborhoods. I was on the advisory board over there for several years. And I actually fought.
Yes, I've spoken with a couple of members of the council, the commission, and they've explained to me that the amount of the time involved, and I've considered that, and I would look forward to spending that time. I like problem solving, and I think it would just be exciting. As far as the architectural review board, we have an eclectic town, so there's a variety of different styles, or even the lack of style is interesting sometimes. On the other hand, once again, it's evolving, and I think it's important that we work towards not just the general plan, but specific residential areas to see that they evolve in a way that we would enjoy in the future. So, yeah, I think an architectural review board would be important.
I agree. I think that the architectural advisory board would be very beneficial if you consider some of the homes around here, Voices versus the Cloisters, for instance. They all have smaller lots, but they're pretty well distributed on them, and a lot of them have the front porches, and the garages, sometimes they're detached and sometimes they are attached, but generally speaking, I think the whole development is very nice looking versus some of the eclectic style houses that you find in some of the more crowded hillside areas. So I think uniformity is very good, and I think that would be a very good board. And yes, I am retired, and I do have the time I could use for the Planning Commission.
Well, as far as time, I think a lot of you are aware of the time crunch I've been under the last 6 months, and I've made it to all the meetings. So I think things are easing up. I think I can continue to devote the time. In terms of an architectural review board, I'm not at all convinced that the citizens, who we're really talking about here, the citizenry of Morro Bay as a whole is ready for an architectural, looking at variations in roof lines and this sort of more generalized guidelines that I think can bring the community towards an architectural vision without being quite the straitjacket that an architectural review board might be. In the past, things in Morro Bay have tended to go like this, you know, and I'm afraid that trying to institute a full-blown architectural review board is this, you know, which in 2 or 3 years is going to be back to here. I think we're better off as a community maybe to do this at this point rather than trying to go the whole distance.
It's real hard to ask an architect about an architectural review board. We would never want to have an architectural review board. But I have to say, you know, to me it's a matter of what that really means. I mean, I have to tell you, I get real tired of the idea of style dictating things. I think that's kind of a superficial way to look at reality. I think you want to look at the idea of care and how you actually radically use things. You know, so things to me like the idea of the porches and what a side yard really means and how you use a particular, very specific piece of property, I think those are fascinating things. Would I want to see Morro Bay become Spanish or, you know, Edwardian? I don't think so. I love the Cloisters. Some of my students worked on some of the houses in the Cloisters. But on the other hand, I think that in some ways I like the eclectic seafront, you know, industrial harbor we have. I'd like to not lose aspects of that by kind of cleaning up what the city looks like all over the place. I think you're always going to have a range of architectural and economic capabilities within the projects that happen, and I think it's a mistake to try to sanitize what could be a really rich kind of environment. But some kind of review, I think it would have to be a really large debate about what exactly that was, and I think I could participate in that debate, but in terms of style, no, I'd never want to see a style thing on Morro Bay.
First part of the question, as far as time, I thought about that a lot, discussed it with my wife, and I would be committed to it. The second part of the question is an architectural review board or committee. It would really, I worked with several of them, and it would. If an ARC is the best way to bring about it, it would just depend on how it's set up and the people that are involved. You would have to have sensitive, caring, knowledgeable people on the committee, or else it would be disastrous. And I think you'd have such a backlash from the community that you'd create more problems than you were trying to solve.
I thought about the time element. I own two businesses. I employ 50 people in this community. But as I said earlier, I'm opening up a new chapter, and I'm also a part of the Private Industry Council. I was a chairman there for 5 years. And if I do get elected here, I will be dropping out of that and some other commitments that I've made this last year. So yes, I do have the time to devote to it. Second of all, I think that Tom made a very good point about the small-scale development. I mean, if there was some type of ARC, it should be defined. And I do agree, again, if they define style and color of house, no, I don't think that's a good idea. On one, but I still think there should be some type of ARC, but it should be a good one.
Okay. Just for the record, I'm not advocating one, but it always elicits some really interesting responses. So it's good to hear what you think about those things. Okay, any other follow-up questions, comments? Okay, now comments. Go ahead, Rick.
You know, when we're in a selection process like this, we have to think about, you know, not only the qualifications and the feelings of the individual, but how they'll fit in with the present board. And I've heard a couple of times where people have said, you know, we don't have to be builders. We don't have to have that experience. We have common sense. We're residents. And we're just people that want to do a good job and contribute time. The way I see it, that's what we have on the Planning Commission now. We have three people. I'm going to be very honest about this. We have three people, none of whom have any building background or experience. My feeling is that we need that. We need some technical experience to add to the present board that can help them do a better job. So I will be voting.
Bill?
Ditto.
Benny?
It's argumentative.
Well, I'm going to echo some things that both of you said, that I'm just totally impressed with all of you. This is the worst decision I think I've ever had to make in all the times I've been appointing. You all have excellent qualifications and thoughts that would add to the process, and I really appreciate all of you. And as Melody said, please don't go away mad. Because we can only choose two of you. So keep yelling at your TV and keep watching and keep going to those sites and looking at it. That's wonderful. And think about other ways you can get involved, too. So I do appreciate that very much. I also do have to look for balance on how we choose the people for the commission and always trying to make that balance between professionalism and the average citizen, which is very important. I was that voice on the Planning Commission, so I know how important it is. So that's how we have to make our decision, and I'm sorry we can't just have a 12-person Planning Commission. It'd have to be 11 or 13, otherwise votes would never work. But anyway, thank you all for applying, and we will vote.
And yeah. I will add, since you've added to Rick's comments over there, I think that's why we have a planning staff, is to work on the technical part. So when you're talking about balance, in terms of professional versus non-professional, my perspective of the Planning Commission is to bring the residents' perspective forward. Now, residents may have professional background, which is a great bonus, but I don't think they have to have that background. I don't think there's a balance that's necessary. I think more of the balance comes from diversity of one end of town to the other, or from one kind of perspective where someone's lived with in very low income housing and someone else has always owned their home. I mean, I think there's other kinds of balances than before, between professional and non-professional.
Okay, we'll vote.
Several votes, probably. close, I think, but it was a number of years ago.
Madam Mayor, we have a three-way tie between Gerald Luer, Michael Lucas, and Bob Teft.
All right, so we're going to have to revote with those three people.
You would need to vote
positions.
For two positions with those three. Limited to those three names, I believe.
So those of you who weren't chosen, again, thank you so much, and please come back. Or look for other ways to be involved, too, because you obviously have a lot to offer. Okay, we'll go for our next ballot.
So we're picking one of three.
Two
of three, so.
Those must be the good chairs.
Gerald Luer, Bob Teft, and Michael Lucas.
So we're just voting between those three?
Yes. Two of those three.
I need to make sure I have the right name. Oh, there it is. Okay, good.
No way.
Let's find out.
I applied for that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Went home with nothing.
You have to ask yourself, though, you guys, really, why so few people apply to PUFR.
Yeah.
You really have to look at our behavior towards them and the stats being. It's bad.
We have a.
Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, Gerald Luer has been appointed.
Okay.
Bob Hendricks, Mr. Hendricks, and Madam Mayor.
Yes.
What? Could I request that the votes be read aloud as they were on the other commissions in this last ballot?
Okay, and starting from the beginning?
No, just this last ballot.
Well, we need to hear.
Yeah, we need to hear from the beginning.
They have to be read in the
record. All of them. Okay. Then I'd like to hear them.
On the first ballot, Rick Grantham, Luer, and Lucas.
Does he go back to the beginning?
That's the first ballot.
He is.
That's where we are.
Demerit, Lucas, and Teft. Peters, Teft, and Luer. Winholtz, Teft, and Lucas. Pierce, Luer, and Lucas.
Didn't we have?
What was my first ballot?
Is that the second one? Did I get them out of order?
You might have. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, then the first ballot was Teft, McGuire, Councilmember Demerit. Oh, that was Councilmember Winholtz. Councilmember Demerit, Lucas, and Teft. Councilmember Grantham, Lucas, and Luer. Mayor Peters, Teft, and Luer. Councilmember Pierce, Lucas, and Luer. And do you want me to repeat the second ballot then? Oh, you've
no,
got that. Okay.
That's fine.
The third ballot, Councilmember Peirce, Luer, Mayor Peters, Luer, Rick, Councilmember Grantham, Lur, and Councilmember DeMeritt, Teft.
Did you read Betty's?
Yeah. Okay. Councilmember Windholz, Teft.
Okay.
Do we have time to use the restroom?
If you got your ballot, just fill it out.
And this is what are we doing for Harvard?
Harvard. Yeah.
No.
Oh. I have it somewhere, I promise. How did I do it?
Can't make any assumptions,
can't. Nice haircut. Where did your hair?
I get it done at Fantastic Sam's.
Michelle.
And Tom.
That's right. Thank you very much.
Did you really?
Yeah, her mom was she was a skipper.
We're okay, right now, just for the people that are watching, we are counting the Harbor vote.
Madam Mayor, we have Tom Laurie, Councilmember Windholz, Roger Anderson, Michelle Leary, and Tom Laurie, and Councilmember DeMeritt, Laurie, Anderson, and Leary. And there is one decision that remains
okay,
to be made.
Okay, I'm sorry, could you keep it down out there? We're still in session.
Mayor Peters indicated that Roger Anderson is leaseholder, Michelle Leary is boating, and Tom Laurie is business. That if that breakdown is acceptable to the board in total, that would yield a four-year term for Michelle Leary, a four-year term for Roger Anderson, and a two-year term for Tom Laurie.
Okay. Okay. Is that all right with the rest of the council?
Do we need a motion, or is that just good?
I'm fine with that, as long as it's clear that
okay.
That's how it works.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And Melody, you wanted to make a comment?
I would just like to remind all residents to come to the priority setting meeting next Monday night here at the Vets Hall.
Okay.
6
it's
p.m.
At 6 o'clock. And
were we going to do that five-year plan?
We're going to find out. Yes, we'll have that presentation. And also, we may, if they are available, be doing the PWAB interviews at 5:30, if indeed everyone is available here.
But I would really encourage people, even if you can't come, to at least watch that first part that talks about the five-year plan.
Right.
And to listen in to hear what citizens are saying their priorities are.
All right. With that, we're adjourned.
Uh-oh.